Answers Magazine, Volume 14.3, page 19. Science in Perspective, Quick Takes. North Pole on the Move. Earth's North Magnetic Pole is moving. But don't panic. We've known about this for almost two centuries. Every few years, geomagnetism experts update the World Magnetic Model to account for the changing position before it becomes severe enough to cause serious problems for navigation. But lately, rapid and erratic changes have accelerated the timetable. The last update was in 2015, and the next regularly scheduled update should take place in 2020. But since 2016, the rapid movement of the North Magnetic Pole, up to 34 miles or 55 kilometers per year, has required experts to update the model more than a year early. Scientists are fascinated by the behavior of the Earth's magnetic field, which is always changing. In fact, in the past, the poles have even flipped. Many creation geologists believe that magnetic data from flood deposits indicates that the poles flipped many times during the unique disturbances of the year-long flood. Evolutionists argue that this change could take millions of years. But this latest finding is a reminder that change can occur much more rapidly and erratically than generally assumed. Natural processes don't always move at the same slow, steady rates we see today.
Cosmopolitan croakers. Something about the city gives a guy a certain something that a female frog just can't resist. Researchers have discovered that male Tungara frogs living in the city have more complex mating calls than their country cousins. 3 out of 4 females prefer the city call. But if the city slicker moves to the country, his sophisticated ways may get him into trouble. Bubba Frog knows that out in the forest, his fancy song attracts more than the ladies. It's the same as yelling, "Here's a tasty frog, come and eat me," to every hungry bat and snake within earshot. So, why does living in the city make a difference? Potential mates aren't as numerous in the city, creating pressure for the frogs to sing a more attractive song. At the same time, predators in the city are fewer too, so there's less pressure for a frog to avoid advertising his presence. The researchers sum it up this way. As animals move into urban environments, they face different pressures from natural selection, resulting in rapid evolution of different behaviors. A better explanation is that God gave frogs, as well as other animals, the tools to fill the varied niches on Earth as he commanded. The Earth has not always been covered with cities, so animals' ability to display specialized behaviors in the city reflect flexibility designed into the system. Even the researchers admitted the frog population already had some variation from the start. When the frogs found themselves in the city, they didn't evolve into something else. Frogs remain frogs, even when they put on airs and get all citified.
Everything old is new again. Back in the day, stone circles were all the rage in Britain. While one of them might appear to the average 21st century layman as, well, just a circle of big stones, they were carefully laid out according to specific patterns. Archaeologists want to know more about the original purpose. That's why they were delighted to report early in January 2019 that they had found a previously unknown stone circle in a style that dated between 3,500 and 5,000 years old. Just a few weeks later, however, they retracted their announcement with a good-natured but embarrassed tweet explaining that the prehistoric stone circle was actually only 20 years old. Was the arrangement of rocks a hoax? Or maybe arrogant scientists letting their evolutionary assumptions run away with them? No, it was a replica made by a farmer with an interest in ancient monuments. In the archaeologist's defense, the farmer knew his subject well, and the formation was a very accurate replica of stone circles from the period. The archaeologists were quick to report their error when the farmer contacted them, so no one can accuse them of arrogance. It's another reminder that when doing historical science, wrong assumptions, however justified they seem, can lead to completely erroneous conclusions.
Warm-blooded reptiles. Researchers have discovered blubber in fossils of ichthyosaurs, marine reptiles resembling dolphins that evolutionists say supposedly died out between 90 and 250 million years ago. Blubber indicates that they were warm-blooded, either maintaining a constant body temperature or at least maintaining a body temperature several degrees warmer than the surrounding water. The researchers say the surviving blubber and some original skin, which was still flexible, must have been preserved very quickly, or else it would not have retained its flexibility. God's creation is infinitely wonderful and complex. Extinct creatures like sea reptiles and dinosaurs have features unlike reptiles today. The more we discover, the more we should be awed by God's creativity and design, and reminded not to trust our ability to interpret the past based simply on our knowledge of life in the present. But that's not the only remarkable thing about this discovery. No matter how rapidly preserved, there is no viable explanation for how any skin or blubber could survive for 90 million years. The logical conclusion, supported by science, is that these ichthyosaurs were fossilized not millions, but merely thousands of years ago, during the global flood.
Plant found on the moon. Okay, that's a little misleading. The plant wasn't just discovered, it was put there. When Chinese scientists checked photos sent back from their Chang'e lunar probe, they saw that a cotton seed had sprouted inside a sealed, temperature-controlled container, which they had put inside the probe and filled with water, soil, and air from Earth. So, technically, they found a plant on the moon, the first plant to germinate and grow on the surface of another world. The experiment carried six different organisms in a protected, Earth-like environment. Its purpose was to study the elements necessary to build a self-sustaining habitat on the moon as a step toward colonizing other planets. The moon is lifeless and inhospitable. The only way to sustain life there is to transport the conditions of the one place God designed to be inhabited, the Earth. See Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. Experiments like this remind us that God created nature to be incredibly resilient and human beings to be resourceful and creative, even to the point of extending our ability to live in places beyond the surface of the Earth.
The chicken or the egg. For the first time, scientists made a hybrid cell by combining yeast and E. coli bacteria. Since this has never been done before, they had to go through several steps to do it. The goal is to show how evolution might have produced a cell with working internal parts that function almost independently. The theory is that one cell swallowed another cell billions of years ago, and then eventually they began functioning as a unified cell. But because scientists had to make each cell dysfunctional, neither could survive on its own. They succeeded by disabling the yeast's ability to produce the fuel that cells run on, ATP, and they disabled the bacteria's ability to produce thiamine, a vitamin essential for life. With a few other tweaks, they were able to insert the bacteria into the yeast cell and produce a symbiotic relationship. The yeast cell provides thiamine for the bacteria, and the bacterial cell produce ATP for the yeast. The procedure was ingenious, but the dysfunctional organisms could never survive on their own until they figured out how to work together and produce offspring that could do the same. Furthermore, the probability is vanishingly small that a process invented by highly skilled scientists could have come about randomly.